heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, let's describe what censorship is, first of all. And Wikipedia describes it as the suppression of speech, of public communication, or other information on the basis that such material is considered objectionable, harmful, sensitive, or inconvenient. Just love that word, inconvenient, huh? Censorship can be conducted by governments, private institutions, and other controlling bodies. Now, we've seen a lot more of those controlling bodies in recent years, clearly, with the advent of the internet, and certainly the advent of social media, which has kind of put our 24/7 news on steroids for all of us, and that has made this a breeding ground for all kinds of corrupt individuals. But you got to remember that everything in our life, once it's out there in the public square, you're always going to have evil attack it, and you're going to have the criminal factor come into everything. And that's just the basic fight of good and evil we talk about all the time. And that's central to this conversation today, my fellow Americans, this whole censoring. And also, you've been hearing about the Section 230. We'll touch on that today as well. Have a couple of great powerhouses with us today, and excited to have both. It'll be Ann Vandersteel will be here, and Anna Julia both. And that's very excited to have both of these strong women here to set the record straight. And both of them have been targeted, by the way, from this censorship. But let me start here and explain to you that. So just at the end of May, May 28th, President Trump issued an executive order that many of you may recall, preventing online censorship. Both parties have been objection to this for different reasons. The left and the right have been attacking this issue for different reasons now, which you can suspect there's not much the left and the right agree on, and certainly the extreme left and right don't. But they've singled out Section 230 attacking. Democrats say it allows tech companies to get away with not moderating content enough. All right, so they are asking the tech, you've been seeing that now with like Facebook and Twitter and a lot of these social media. They want the tech companies to police the content. They want them to determine what goes on there and doesn't go on there, which is right in the face against everything we stand for, including Section 230, which gives them, you know, protections under the government, the liability factor, which we'll talk about today. But so they're asking, which makes no logical sense at all for these social media companies, which would make them then, you know, publishers. It makes them where they're determining what content to post or not post. You see the problem, right? They're no longer, you know, should have that liability protection, really. Republicans say it enables them to moderate too much. So you see the difference between the two sides there, okay? And the Republicans don't want their hands on the scale. Well, a lot of that is because in recent, really, weeks and months and years, you have seen the censoring of conservative voices. Now, the Democrats will not admit this. They don't, the left does not want to admit that point. But it has been proven already. There are plenty of examples out in media world. I mean, you've seen tons of examples. One of the more notable ones is Veritas Project has released plenty of these things to where they've gotten these people, you know, with these hidden cameras and mics and exposed what they would never want to be out in the public square. And it's happened. And so you have this kind of a hyper-partisan divide, if you will, on the exact nature of Section 230 and the shortcomings. But like everything, Congress, being as inept as they are, they can't walk and tie their shoelaces and, maybe you don't walk and tie your shoelaces at the same time. Maybe they pause and stoop down to try to tie their shoelaces. I've never tried that, to walk and tie the shoelaces. That'd be quite a trick, huh? The argument was put out, interestingly, in Wired in August 2019. I want to read you this, just brief paragraph, sums it up. something tech companies have really gotten wrong. They've proceeded for years, basically treating Section 230 like it's a right that's enshrined in the Constitution. And I think, frankly, some of the large platforms in particular have gotten incredibly arrogant. You don't say. Arrogance? Zuckerberg, you mean? Come on, Jack? No. And so this is a good reference point to start with about that arrogance that is out there. Now, a lot of the word you hear a great deal is, and it's a, now this is a big word. This is like a 25 syllable word. So brace yourself, and it's a big one. It's called algorithms, big, 25 syllables in that algorithms, just bangs in your ears, you know. What does that mean? Well, algorithms. So the major internet platforms, what they're doing is they have all this data and content they're managing. So let me give you an example. Twitter, they get about a half a billion posts every day. Think about that, half a billion posts every day. Facebook has over 1.7 billion active daily users, okay? YouTube has over 720,000 hours of video uploaded to its site, uploaded every day, every day. Now you know why they can't find your content half the time, right? So the scale of the data means that platforms have to rely primarily on these automated programs for the most part. Say it with me, algorithms. That's right, to curate the content, the algorithms. The problem is, if you look at justice being a scale with two levels of the scale, algorithms, you can twist those algorithms, and with the screwdriver, you can tighten those suckers up or let them go back and forth. If you just put your hand on the one end of the scale, the other scale goes whoop, goes right up there, you see, and then your algorithms. And then the problem is a lot of these, what did we call them just a moment ago? Arrogant. That was the word, arrogant. So a lot of them, these arrogant operators, these tech billionaires come out and say, well, we own the company. And in many senses, they are correct. They do own the companies, by the way, which is the argument I always say to you. Where are the conservatives in this fight? Why have they given up? And why is social media and every other thing in our life that controls the megaphone to society run by the far left lunatic extreme Marxists, nut jobs? That's a question that we continue to, difficult to find an answer to that, isn't it? But that's really the core of the problem and the issue here, people. So again, algorithms is just a word for saying we can taint and twist and we can put you in a vice and squeeze you any way we want because we tell the algorithms to go do this. You see, this is really just the AI world. That's all. That's the AI world. And it's the AI world coming to life. And my fellow Americans, I will say to you this, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. When that AI world gets out there, and as we get over all these other crises we're dealing, the next one down the road, somewhere ahead, is going to be the AI world. It's massive. Nobody even understands how much this is going to impact our life. So let's get started here, bring on Ann Vandersteel. She's the host of Steel Truth. And Steel Truth is an investigative journalism show bringing the news that's overlooked or missed, characterized by the mainstream media. The first time I've met Ann and talked to Ann, and I think based on that description, we're going to get along real well, Ann. And so, real well. Listen, you have a tweet I see that I want to talk personally about what you've discovered. And you say here that it's specifically Twitter now in this particular case we'll start with. You're saying they're taking accounts down and I've already been locked out twice in a couple of weeks. It's kind of a pinned tweet you have on your feed. And I'd like to ask you more about that. Can you tell us what that all means and what happened in your world with that, with Twitter, your experience?
Well, I've already been suspended once off Twitter and was allowed to come back. So I've come back, but what we're seeing happen right now, Malcolm. And first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to join you along with Anna Julia. It's a true honor. And I've been looking forward to this conversation because it is so pertinent to running up to the election and the censorship that they are blanketing the conservative movement right now. They're desperate for a win. And so they're leveraging the only tool they have left, which is censorship. I think the mail-in ballots are not going to happen. So they're going to go heavy on censorship. But what I'm seeing happen personally and around with my close friends is, you know, being deleted. Your voice is silenced. You know, Laura Loomer has been banned on every platform. She even won a primary. She still hasn't gotten her account back on Twitter. Bill Mitchell, a massive conservative voice, sort of the grandfather of the podcast movement in some people's minds, silenced. Mm-hmm. They took his account away.
Now, is Bill still off? Is Bill still off, Anne?
He is still off Twitter. He's been permanently suspended off Twitter.
Oh, permanent.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you know what he did? Do you know what happened with it? I don't know what happened. Do you know what it was?
Yeah, sure. So he was talking about, he was mask debating, and he personally put a tweet out that said masks are harmful because you're rebreathing CO2. Okay. And that tweet had been out there for months, and they decided to delete his account or suspend him for a week. And they showed him that tweet. And, you know, he said, oh, all right, fine. You know, this is what they do. So he had another Twitter account for his business, Your Voice for America, and started using that. And they said, oh, you violated a Twitter rule, which you used to be able to have multiple Twitter accounts as long as you weren't impersonating yourself. So he was using that, and they said, nope, you're not allowed to do this right now. And so they permanently suspended him. They just banned him.
Now, Anne, you can't do that anymore, though. You can't have multiple accounts there, right? With Twitter? Is that the
rules? That's how I understand it. I've always understood that you were allowed to have multiple accounts as long as it wasn't claiming to be yourself. So he was representing his company, Your Voice America, and had a corporate account, like many companies do, right? Companies have Twitter accounts, and then their employees have accounts as presidents and CEOs or whatever. So needless to say, Bill is off Twitter. He's on another platform we'll get to later, which is a remarkable iteration of all the social media companies out there, plus a combination of broadcast media, which we'll talk about in detail. But Twitter right now with me is definitely using artificial intelligence every single day now. It's not just twice. It's every morning I wake up, as soon as I get on Twitter, within 30 seconds, it locks me out and asks me to re-verify that I'm a human being. And they put up these images and say, please pick all the fire hydrants. And they're these very granular, hard to read images. You've got to get a magnifying glass out, and you have to really take your time to look, because if you miss one, you're done. They'll call you a robot and they'll shut your account down. Yeah. So every morning I walk the tightrope, and it's to the point now where, you know, Twitter doesn't define me. Social media doesn't define me. It's a tool, and I use it accordingly to promote the messaging I'm trying to convey with the guests that I have that I'm bringing to light to share real news, as opposed to the stuff we see streaming on Fox and CNN now.
This whole thing now, you see, you can't have a double account. You can't do that, but you can't even have a company account, I guess is what you're saying, because Bill got caught with that, Mitchell did, and then they suspend him permanently. So it's really like they're on the fringes of trying to get us. It sounds like someone like Mitchell, they're trying to get him some way, somehow, because if the first one didn't get him about the mask, which really is freedom of speech, and let's face it, I mean, you
it
should
is.
Be able to say that. I mean, come on, you know?
Right.
Right. And they didn't like that. So then they do the double jeopardy of the account. And now he tried to appeal, I assume, and they still didn't bring up. Is that what happened, or did he?
Correct. He tried to appeal, and they gave him the response that he broke their rules by having a second account during a suspension.
Let me ask you also, how long were you suspended for the first time when you were done, when you were taken off?
Well, fortunately, one of my former co-hosts with me when I was on Your Voice America is very savvy in social media. And he said, I was going through the same issues back then. And he said, Anne, they're going to suspend your account because I'm not blue check. They will not give me a blue check. And now their excuses. I've been written up. If you Google my name, there's, I don't even know, hundreds of articles. I am absolutely blue check worthy, but they won't issue it to me because they don't want to give me that verification. And so he said to me last year, he said, Anne, you're going to lose your account. Why don't you switch your username to another account? So I swapped usernames on a separate account I had. And that, of course, the big account I had went down within days. I was able to maintain my username of Anne Vandersteel on Twitter, and I built it back up to where I was 9 months ago. And, you know, cruising along, but they're doing the same thing. Every morning I wake up, I have to re-verify. So at this point, I'm just now like, if I lose my Twitter account, I don't care.
But you suspect you're going to lose it at some point. You think it's a matter of time. Yeah. And you're saying, let me just make sure of something. You're saying, I mean, this whole fire hydrant thing, I get, we've all seen those crazy things. It's a jigsaw puzzle to figure, and it's crazy. It's a mind bender. You're saying, are you saying every morning that comes up? Is that for real?
Every morning.
every day. Now, that's insanity. That's insanity. I mean, so every day. So what it sounds to me like what they're doing is they are trying to aggravate you, aren't they? To push you away, I guess. They don't want your business, do they?
They are trying to do that, but it's more than that. They are making it incredibly difficult to get the jigsaw puzzle questions, the answers correct. They want you to trip up so that you will trigger the algorithm to declare you are a bot, and therefore they will suspend your account.
Yeah.
And the reason they're doing this is my account has had incredible growth. In the last 2 months, I've grown close to 40,000 followers.
Wow.
I've skyrocketed, and they don't like that.
They don't like that. Yeah, I hear you. And you know, one of my colleagues and one of our dear colleagues and friends here on the platform, Ava Armstrong, she had the same problem with the fire hydrant thing, as I just remembered that, Anne, where they were doing that. And they were calling her a Russian bot, a bot, when all that stuff was happening for a while. And she's clearly not that. She is a real person. I know that, you know.
That's right.
But this is what they do. So I know exactly what you're talking about as far as that goes. Probably most listeners can understand that. I want to come back later on more, Anne, with you to talk about the YouTube factor, because I have some thoughts and I want your opinion on a couple of things. But that's where you're using now to get your message out. Is that correct or no?
I have a show, Steel Truth, and that is going out over multiple platforms, because if you don't share your message across multiple platforms, you really doom yourself to when they decide to pull the plug.
That's right.
So being on Twitter, which is linked to Periscope, when that account goes down, not if it, I will lose my Periscope account, which I've done. And they've censored my Periscope account to the point where it's very difficult to get followings or viewers on there. Okay. But I'm on YouTube. I've got close to 26,000 followers there. They never send out notifications. They've deemed my content over there harmful and dangerous. So if you have any filters on your YouTube channel, you probably won't get a notification for me. Just know my show is live at 9 and I get a couple hundred people live and, you know, a couple 4,000 views a night on YouTube. But I'm actually now blessed to be on a number of live streaming interactive TV platforms. Okay. So I'm on about seven different Apple, Roku, and Amazon Fire channels, I'm now in 50 million homes. Their audience size is much bigger. So that's the future in this. Yeah. Social media is your marketing tool, and I'm putting it in that category, Malcolm, and I'm going to use the platform on interactive TV where people can watch and engage with the TV to further explore the subject matter I'm discussing.
I like what you're talking about. I really like, you know, as I've just discovered you recently, and I really like you and like what you're doing. I have to tell you, I really think it's terrific. You're an excellent voice and of truth and common sense from what I can see. And everybody should be proud to engage. So engage with you. This show you do, do you do that every night, by the way, on
I do. It's weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
It's an hour show. And I've been blessed to partner with a fantastic cutting edge producer. Producer Liz. She likes to stay anonymous, but she's absolutely tremendous. And she's creative. She and I see the world through the same lens, and she's wonderful at helping through images tell the story, and we have a good time.
Yeah, that's the only way you can really do that is with that kind of help and support, because, you know, people don't realize a daily show is a massive undertaking. It is a lot of work. And to be prepared and preparation, all of that is very important. All right. There's a lot to talk with you, Anne, and we're going to do that. Let's bring in Anna Julia now and bring her into the conversation, Anne, and talk to her. Now, Anna is, and many of you may recognize the name or not, I don't know, but she runs a whole series of rooms that are called Pride. P-R-I-D-E, and she's the creator and the administrator for Pride. She's an amazing woman, really, I believe. I think, Anne, you would agree with that when I describe Anna that way, and, you know, she is a...
100%.
Yeah, she's something else. I mean, she's a firestorm. Now, she's a Brazilian-American patriot, she calls herself, right, Anna, you know?
Yes.
And so, Anna, you just recently, I know I've had multiple colleagues on America Out Loud that have been suspended from and censored heavily and suspended from social media. Let me put that right out there. Now, I have never been personally, but they have suspended plenty of our folks here from time to time. Some of them have gotten their accounts back. Some have not. And some have to rebirth themselves. Anna, recently, you had worked on a really pretty good sized following and had created all these rooms, and it's a marketing tool. Basically, you utilized the Twitter platform as a marketing tool to reach out to we the people. And then you were suspended, but you're still suspended. You seem to, the question is, are you still suspended? Have you gotten your account back?
No, I didn't get my account back at all. They didn't even reply the appeals that I made. They never sent any tweet telling me why did they suspend me. And at the time that they suspend me, I was in vacation. I didn't even was tweeting.
And how, like, why was you suspended? Do you know why? Do you know the tweet that set them off or something happened? Or you call somebody a name or what? What is it?
The last tweet that I made it was about abortion. I was talking about that I was pro-life and that I don't understand how people can carry on without that criminal acts against a baby that didn't born yet. And I just got
that was the tweet you believe that did it then, was that tweet? Yeah. Did you, let me ask you this. Did you use a key word like murder? Did you use anything like that or no?
No.
It was just the key word, probably abortion then did it, huh?
That was probably the word.
Interesting.
They really try to, you know, stop everybody to talk about what's really matter and what's happening in the country. And this is not okay. And they're doing with so many people. And they did everything what they did with Ann Vandersteel with me before they suspend me. They start to do that little thing that you need to prove that you're not a robot every single morning.
Oh, that was happening to you as well?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on now. How long did that happen to you, Anna, when it was what kind of period of time are we talking?
It happened like for 2-3 weeks before they take me out.
Oh, wow. So this is interesting to me now. So you're saying before that few weeks before you were suspended, had that ever happened before in your early days with Twitter or no?
Yes, it did. When I started tweeting about my opinion, about what was going on in the country, they started to do this, but it wasn't that frequently. It was more like sporadically, like 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
But now it's like every single day with all the things.
Now, I wonder what does this. I've never had it happen to me, so I don't really know. And my social media person has never happened to. And it's happened to, again, other people on our platform. Let me be clear. As I said, on our network and many of our colleagues, it has happened to. Personally, I've not experienced this, so I can't speak about that. But I'm sensing something here now. We're on a... You know, like they start showing you, let's call it the fire hydrant pictures. We know they use all kinds of trickery things, like how many red lights do you see? And you got to think how many boxes they're in. And sometimes they always put just like Ann would say, I'm sure. Sometimes they put just I've seen these in other applications, not this here, but I have seen them elsewhere, where they put like a smidgen of the hydrant or the light in the box. And you really don't know what the hell you're supposed to check it or not. It's sort of a game of Rumpelstiltskin. You don't know what the hell to do or what to do or whether you run out of the room or what boxes to check. It's kind of silly, actually. It's a romper room game, pre-primary game, you know, check the boxes, right? And so that was happening for several weeks before. You had it happen prior, but then it was steadily every morning, just like it was happening with Ann then, huh, Anna?
Yes. And then they took my account down after like
All right.
And I believe that it's not about the AI. I think who put the program in the AI? What kind of mind is trying to do a censorship in the conservatives? That person, that program is the person. It's the people that are involved with that kind of mind about censor everything what you say online. So people cannot believe it's a computer.
Well, Anna, you're 100% right. And this is why. They can tighten that up. That's all human. That's all human twisted. But here's what they do. The social media executives come and say, well, what, me? No, I'm not doing nothing. It's the algorithm. So they blame that on, as I say, the AI, Anna. And this is the beginning of where they're going to use AI to screw with us. And eventually, we're going to have bigger problems with AI ahead. We haven't got into that chapter of the fight yet, but that's going to be a hell of a fight ahead, I assure you, Anna. But you're exactly right with what you say there. No, this is the people that the algorithms are only as good as what they tell the algorithms to be. You see, Anna? Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
If I say to the algorithms, go mess with Anna Julia, please, and go mess with Ann Vandersteel, please, Guess what? That's what the algorithms do. They're good little puppies. That's what the AI does, and they go do that. And then we say, go throw her off the platform. We don't like this woman. But you see, Anna, in all truth to be told, though, I'm guessing, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Anna, but I think you were a big threat to Twitter. And I detected, because of all the you were like damage to them. So what they needed to do is damage control, because they know you have all those rooms. They know you are the instigator and the perpetrator of freedom and the expressive thoughts of Twitter. And you're like the anti for them. They don't want you on there. And you know what I'm saying, Anna? You are a threat to them.
I agree with you. I believe that, because when you put a bunch of people together that think the same, and you unify that group and organize for to put out there the truth, you are a threat. You are dangerous. You are considered dangerous for them.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it here. There are some other things we want to touch on in a moment here to really put this out there. So we really give a most comprehensive talk on this censorship and Section 230 that we possibly can. Let me take a moment and just tell you first here that we are listening here to The Voice of a Nation. It is a privilege to have both Anne van der Steel and Anna Julia with us today as we take on this censorship. The one thing I love about America Out Loud Talk Radio is, guess what? We're not censored by anybody. Now, we are ladies and gentlemen, so we stay within those parameters for sure. But we are patriots, and we love our nation, and we love freedom. We love liberty, and we don't censor. So the beautiful thing I love about the expressiveness, and that's why talk radio has always been a platform and a beautiful expression of freedom for conservatives. It's why it's always been that way, talk radio. I mean, it's the only medium the far-left lunatics, Marxists, haven't been able to swallow whole. They've swallowed everything else whole. I mean, they've got the whole thing, the television, the newspapers, they've got the social media, they've got it all. But they haven't been able to snatch up, and that's been a long fight that's been going on for many, many years, which is why I reside in the talk radio. I love talk radio because it's such an interesting platform to utilize and all. And I need to talk to Anne and Anna more. We need to get Anne's show and her voice on the platform here, I'll tell you, and Anna Julia as well, because this is what we need as patriots like this and strong voices to be part of this movement. It is a movement of, I call it a grassroots movement, really. But it's we the people that are taking it back, because we cannot rely on Jack and Mark and these little tyrants who run around with their billions manipulating the public. And there's a whole host of them, people. They're all the same. They're clothed from the same Silicon Valley of corruption. And but they were smart enough years ago to buy it all up, is basically what happened. And they own all that. So in any event, so The Voice of a Nation, our program here is 6 p.m. Eastern time every week. Day you'll catch us. There's an encore at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So 6 and 10 is where you catch this program. And as you know, it does go to podcast a couple of days later. You can catch this show on podcast networks worldwide, all podcast networks, everything, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, all of them. But up front, the best way to listen to us on talk radio is our apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We have a massive family of app holders, and that is the place to connect and become part of that family. We also have a world-class media player where you can listen on any web browser through the world, or, of course, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other networks you'll find America Out Loud Talk Radio on. And that's the idea, which Anne was talking about moments ago. It's a multifaceted program, and that's the mistake that good, great voices need to not get caught into, where they're beholden to one player, one tech god, and then you're in trouble when they pull the rug from out under your feet, which we don't want to hear. All right, so let's take a quick pause, and we'll be back with Anne van der Steel and Anna Julia just after the pause here.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner? feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, this whole thing about censorship, there's a lot of bad information out there, and people don't really understand the ramifications. And I mean, listen, I think conservatives finally realize that they're going to have to take it back. They're going to have to get involved in the game. You can't stay on the sidelines and let the socialist Marxists buy and own all of this up, use their megaphone, and then complain and whine all day that you're not getting your way. It's just not going to be the wave of the future, people. We're going to have to get involved and start to secure some of these organizations. And you're seeing that already with the advent of groups like Gab and Parler and others. There's a whole myriad of them, which we'll talk more about. I do want to go through some of those with Anne a little bit after here. And she's got another interesting one. I do want to talk about Clout Hub or something. We'll talk about that as well. But I want to set the record straight on a couple of things here. Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican out of Missouri, he says, and I quote, "The world has changed. The internet has changed. And I think we need to keep pace with change. The dominant monopoly-sized platforms that exist today did not exist then. The business model they employ today wasn't employed then." Well, you see, friends, Hawley, like many of the other conservatives in the GOP who realize that social media companies are absolutely censoring conservative voices, as Anna Julia was just saying, whether it's abortion or whether it's a voice like a Laura Luma who would speak out about, you know, Islam or things like that, and other people who would say things that are, you know, to some people testy in the public square. For other people, it's their truth. It's free speech. But free speech, again, has been tainted and twisted now because of the politically correct crowd. And they've been working on this for decades. The PC crowd have been running around with their heads on fire for a long time. And finally, they're now, it's all become this breeding ground now with these tech companies and others. And not only that, but it's your, what you used to call your mainstream news, your ABC News, NBC News, the CNNs, all of those cats, all the networks. They're all Marxist socialist operations. And so now you see we're in a heap of trouble. And that's sadly where America finds itself today. It's not a pretty picture, people. I talk about this with you all the time. And it's not. It's not a pleasant thing. It's why you need to get behind people like Ann Vandersteel and Anna Julia and America Out Loud Talk Radio and AmericaOutLoud.com, our platform. And you need to push great grassroots conservative messaging patriots, people who passionately care about our nation, our country, and want to stay with a more perfect union of what our Constitution beholds and who we are. It's not real complicated, people. Come on now. It's not real complicated for this side. I mean, truly. Now, we're not extremists. I'm not an extremist at all. I'm a God-loving American right where you are in the middle here. Not, I don't go for the left nut jobs on the left or the right. I think they're extremists on both sides of the aisle. And that's not what I preach here, by the way. Okay? It's just in June here. Josh Hawley introduced a bill in the Senate that would require the FTC to certify that companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Google do not moderate information provided by other information content providers in a politically biased manner. And that was the whole thing where Section 230 comes in. Well, Representative Matt Gaetz out of Florida, he says this, his quote, "I'm a conservative. I don't want Washington running my life, sure, but I sure the hell don't want Silicon Valley running my life. I love that quote, by the way. I could say that all day long. So Gates claimed that he was being shadow banned by Twitter, and there were a lot of, you remember that, a lot of conversations about that. A lot of the politicians have, actually. Well, again, on the 28th of May, the President Trump issued an executive order on preventing online censorship to get the conversations started. And it reads this way here, at the top of that executive order, policy in section one, and I love the way the president addressed this in the executive order, and it's this, and this will resonate in your ears, I am certain. Free speech is the bedrock of American democracy. Our founding fathers protected this sacred right with the First Amendment to the Constitution. The freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation for all of our rights as a free people in a country that has long cherished the freedom of expression. We cannot allow a limited number of online platforms to handpick the speech that Americans may access and convey on the internet. This practice is fundamentally un-American and anti-democratic. And he goes on to talk about the social media companies and the power they have, and the fact that when they disagree, they exercise a dangerous power, the president says. He's right. He's absolutely right. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, they wield immense, if not unprecedented, power to shape the interpretation of public events, to censor, delete, or disappear information and control what people see. And also, you can put Google in that lineup as well, because front and center to this conversation is Google. I mean, these people are the worst. And they control the whole search environment, unless you're on Bing or DuckDuckGo. I mean, they control the whole thing. And that's where they're giving you the information they want you to see and understand and read. Now you see where the problem is, people. The Marxists are running the megaphones, and they're all sleeping with each other to control the narrative, which is why we're kind of working from behind here to save our nation. That's why we're in this bad position to begin with, you know, because they've pushed this narrative onto the American public, sadly, you know. So it says here, Section 230, the president says, was not intended to allow a handful of these companies to grow into titans, controlling vital avenues for our national discourse under the guise of promoting open forums for debate. See, I love that. Absolutely love that. Under the guise of promoting open forums for debate. Listen, if you want to do that, at least tell us you're doing that. Don't do it under the guise of promoting. This is what really gets me in this argument right here. This rips me up. And the president nailed it right there. You know, it's one thing if you want to do that, at least tell us you're doing it. You want to be a communist regime? Great. Let us know that so we can stay removed from you. But when you power seeker Marxists do this and throw it in a face, oh, well, you know, what they do is they plant dandelions all there and pretty tulips to attract you in the field. So it looks like a pleasant enough field. And sure enough, just like the Wizard of Oz in that field of beautiful flowers, and you run like hell across the field, and then you're all dying from the smell and the toxin of their bullshit. That's the same thing happening here, right? Under the guise of promote, because they're not promoting open forums. If they did, they would stay the hell out of it and shut up. But they don't. So they're not honoring anything. So the president's exactly right. So Section 230, that liability should be removed. Now that will change the landscape. There's a major danger in all that for sure, because then they have no protection. And then they will be sued, and then they'll probably out of business here. So let's move it along now and bring back on Ann Vandersteel and talk, Ann, about that point. It gets me just a little bit hot. My temperature goes up just slightly, Ann, when it comes to these kinds of tyrants.
Well, I fully agree with what you're saying here. The speech cartel, or as I like to call them, the Silicon Valley speech cartel, have been wielding the power for quite some time, and they're heavily funded and incentivized by the globalists that have been in control of not only this country, but basically the world for decades now, and the people are waking up. But let's just go back to this country. Our founding fathers drafted the Bill of Rights not to protect popular speech or the popular majority, but to protect the rights of the minority so that we don't fall silent those that want to speak out don't fall silent, and real social progress ceases. I mean, this is what it's about. It's about being able to communicate our thoughts and ideas. And if they have merit, others can join in and go, you know what, that makes a whole lot of sense. We should expand on that. We should act on that. But, you know, by attempting to make polarized views inaccessible to others, you know, by my idea inaccessible to others that may think it's a good idea because it's running contrary to what the mainstream media narrative is feeding us and giving us only one avenue of information, we're shutting down the discussion of ideas, which is what this nation was born on. We were born, we're a nation of ideas. And we came over here and we said, we're going to do it differently. We want to get away from the totalitarian regime. We don't want to be run like a monarchy. We don't want to be serfs to the crown. We are going to be individuals that put our boots on and pull our pants up and fasten our seatbelts and make it on our own. And they are trying to take that away from us. And they've been trying to take it away from us for a long time now. I mean, going back to the Federal Reserve Act and then re-imprisoning us financially. So this, you know, these Orwellian tactics are going against the wishes of this country's founding fathers and the citizens that make this country so great. And Twitter isn't a messaging board anymore. I mean, they are aggregating news. They're aggregating content suggestions based on their own algorithms. They're tracking every click you make. And now they're putting us in these echo chambers and they're censoring out any offending opinions that run contrary to what the Silicon Valley speech cartel believe. In fact, Democrat Congressman Adam Schiff, who is chair of the Congressional Intelligence Committee, wrote a letter to the top social media platforms urging them to censor discussions of vaccine injuries, which, of course, we do know occur. And they wanted the vaccine, you know about the vaccine injury compensation program. They paid out, I don't know, $3 or $4 billion in vaccine injuries since its inception back in 1987. But what's happening is because that they did that, people like myself who were very big on LinkedIn, I had a huge profile with massive engagement over on LinkedIn, much bigger than on Twitter because they weren't imploring algorithms on LinkedIn at the time. I was speaking out about vaccines on coronavirus and all this stuff. Right after that letter was published by Adam Schiff, I was suspended on LinkedIn and they've never given me my account back, nor are they giving me my data. And I paid for that account. I was a professional user, $60 a month. I was entitled to my connections and data, and they've locked me out of what I consider to be a very valuable resource for the work that I do. A lot of my information and intelligence and guests came from doing on a paid platform. It wasn't free like Twitter or Facebook. And then
because you had a premium membership, you mean?
I did for 10 years. So do the math. I gave them a lot of money. But
when did that happen with LinkedIn?
That happened in April, April 17th.
Just happened this year. Well, you've been hit hard. You've been hit hard.
Oh, I was locked out of Facebook. Couldn't post on Facebook for 4 months. So they really are I'm unpopular because my opinion runs contrary to the Silicon Valley speech cartel and the globalists that control them, the financiers and all of that. But you now have to compare this to what you brought up earlier in the show with artificial intelligence. And you right. look at what the Chinese are doing and how much money they're spending on it. They have access to hundreds of millions of users on Facebook and their propaganda they're pushing. But the Chinese communist government has been attempting, and I just had Cyrus Parsa on the show last night and again last week, they're attempting to build a god-like artificial intelligence machine, which they stole from Google's DeepMind artificial intelligence. And they did this, as we know, using espionage, forced technology transfer, IP theft. They plagiarized. And of course, they've done some collaboration with Google. So this is a fully, this is a real, should we say, deep state war on intelligence and the Mockingbird media to keep us in this mindset that we are subservient to them and not the fact that we elect public servants which serve us. And President Trump has absolutely upside down that paradigm by going up there and saying, I'm returning power to the people. On January 17th, he said, today we start the transfer of power back to the people. And he's doing this without taking a salary. He is the true definition of a public servant. And he terrifies them because he's not beholden to them. And he's activated we the people, not only here in this country, but worldwide. I got a phone call from a journalist in France who was asking me about all my information on my site. She was fascinated, and we started talking about yellow vests. And then, believe it or not, the conversation went a little fringe and the whole Q stuff. But Q, if you look at it from what it represents, it's all they're trying to do is message to people, hey, you have the power, not the globalists, not the government. It's about returning power to the people. And I look at everything in that context because that's, in fact, what our founding fathers built. And that is why America has always been the shining city on the hill for the rest of the world. We have done it right. This experiment is not over, but we're fighting like hell to keep this experiment alive. And we have a lot of headwinds.
Yeah, we do. I want to come back to LinkedIn with you in just a bit. I want to talk about that clout hub. Let me get Anna's voice in here. And Anna, I want you to pick up a moment where Anne just is talking about, and for, you know, from your perspective now, I mean, from your home country in Brazil, where things are different than where they are here, speak about what you see with what Anne's talking about with this, with the social media tyrants.
Yes. Yesterday, I got a call from one of my friends, lawyers in Brazil, and he said to me, Anna, please, you guys have to fight. Our only hope is America stand up for no censorship, because if America goes down, our whole planet Earth will go down. You guys are the one holding the fort for to not have censorship and freedom. Because the rest is going to be taken down. We're having problems here that we had in 1960 when we have dictatorship in Brazil. We couldn't talk about absolutely nothing, and everything was a lie. What was in TV and radio station, nobody could talk about. And if you talk about, you disappear, not just disappear in a good way. And the truth is, I believe that Americans is the only one standing up for our freedom of not just America. If we don't stop them to censor us because they're tearing down our constitution, the First Amendment is the first thing that they want to put it down, like they did in Brazil in 70s. And they did that in Brazil. We couldn't talk with nobody about absolutely nothing. And they defund the police in Brazil, and they start to make their cleaning because they want they don't want us to know the truth, what's going on about the children, about abortion, about everything. So anything you say about it, you will be censored.
Anna, that is so well said. I am so glad you brought up the importance for people to hear about America. And what do they say? America is freedom's last great stand. I'm very fascinated with the call that you had from your friend from Brazil who reminded you to remind us. Now, think about this, people. This is really big to me. That Anna is here today reminding us all. Now, so her friend from Brazil just reminded her. So that was the impetus to say, okay, there's a warning here, and I just want you to realize the importance of this, Anna. And Anna shares with us today to say, listen, whatever's going to happen here, and I hear that a lot these days because we're teetering, tottering on the edge of some insanity here in our nation. And a lot of people are very worried around the world because, you know, when America gets a sneeze, a cold, they tend to get pneumonia in other countries. And it's reflective of our freedoms and what we are, which you're hearing here. That's important, Anna, that you say that. Thank you for saying that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so important to remind Americans what the stakes are, is what I'm saying. So we're not just fighting for us. We're not just fighting for our individual freedoms and our collective freedoms, but we are fighting for world freedom. That should inspire, just think a minute, people. That should inspire everybody listening to this program today. Now, by the means of what we're talking about here, we put a lot of edgy content out there, not bad content, but truthful content that would be edgy in their world because it's talking about real truth, obviously, you know?
Correct.
And they haven't messed with us at all yet, and I just don't even begin to know what's going on. Now, I don't get nasty and I don't comment back. What I don't do is I don't go back and forth, and I don't let my social media people know. I don't go back and forth with opinions. Like, you know how, and a lot of people, they comment back and forth and they get into the spiral, death spiral of, you know, you suck, I suck, it sucks, we all suck, you know, blah, blah. And then it gets really, then they start using all kinds of, you know, that's where I think it's really gets, and then you start calling people names, and that's when they do suspend you, don't they, typically, I guess.
Right. And you know what, Malcolm, I actually had incredible engagement. So I might make a post, it would get somewhere between 50 to 150,000 views or shares.
Okay.
And then I would get up to 600, 700 comments. On the post.
Wow.
So that is I had incredible engagement and traction over there. And I believe that was the biggest reason they wanted me off the platform, because I was really waking people up Now you have to consider LinkedIn users versus, say, a Twitter or a Facebook user is a different user. They're not right. used to social media like Facebook and Twitter, where it can get very viral. So when they were seeing comments and posts and that I was making and my show was getting promoted over there, right. that's when I believe they finally decided wow. they could use the Adam Schiff well, excuse to take me out.
What I had found out is, right. LinkedIn is a more educated consumer. And I don't mean
it's
that
a
in any
business platform.
I don't mean in it's disrespect, but the conversation's a little more elevated, I find. Don't you? Didn't you find
100%.
Okay.
The conversation I had with users over there was night and day. I was spending much more time on LinkedIn because it was so much more engaging
exactly.
and intellectual
exactly.
with educated users asking interesting and educated
exactly.
questions.
Well, I'm so sad to hear this, that they did that to you. That really rips me up, Anne, because yeah. I would have loved to engage with you over there. And they that's not right, what has happened here. You should be able to get that back. And I don't understand this. So, Anna, are you on Gab or Parler, Anna?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And are you using them much or are you?
Not so much, because it's more that platform is doesn't have the same results that Twitter and Facebook give it to you. And I felt that I had to work harder for to make it
connections.
Yes. For to make a voice more instead, more connections and people's putting their opinions. So it's not an easy, it's not an easy app to use.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people say that. Anne, are you on Gab or Parler? Because what I find, the way I describe it, Anne, is that, and Anna, to your point, they're not as sexy as Twitter is yet. They're not at that level, are they?
No, I don't.
I'm on Gab only as a placeholder. I've done very little posting. It's been, I don't even know when the last time I posted on Gab was, very honestly. Parler, I'm on. I don't use it that much. I don't spend a lot of time posting. I've really moved to another platform that I think is going to replace Facebook, Twitter, all of them. I see it as the full.
Hold on, let me brace myself. You got to. Is this the Cloud Hub? Is this Cloud Hub?
It's Cloud Hub. Yeah, I'm very impressed
Tell
with
me.
What they're doing.
Tell me about it, please.
Very impressed with the CEO of Cloud Hub. His name is Jeff Brain. He's an incredibly humble individual. He's, put his money where his mouth is, literally, to create a platform that includes everybody, the right, the left, the middle. It doesn't matter race, color, sex. He's truly about free speech. But it's more than that. It's a true interactive platform where you not only have the social media aspect and engagement, where you're not censored by 200 characters, you actually have a broadcast platform integrated on there. Mm-hmm. Which allows you to have a channel and you can create your own podcast right on the platform. So it's a true hybrid that I think, and it has chat and et cetera with it.
And you're able to connect with people easily enough. You're getting a lot of relationships there.
I'm building it slowly right now because I literally just landed there and I'm sort of working a lot behind the scenes and helping improve the platform and get, the user experience.
Are
because
you really?
There are some things. Yeah, there's a group of influencers that are over there. I'm fortunate to be blessed to be asked to be one of them to help improve the user experience. In fact, I have a call with Jeff after this to talk about some things that I know that he needs to work on. But it's really what I consider to be the up and coming platform. And here's the really interesting thing: he is creating this as a not only a social media hub, but also a political hub, a civics hub.
Okay.
But he's also looking at this from an interactive perspective. Right. How can we interact with people when we're live? It's similar to what YouTube is doing, but more. And he's powering this whole thing by IBM Watson, which is massive.
How long have they been out? How long's Cloud Hub been in play? Do you know?
Gosh, they just launched this year. So it's, I don't even think it's a full 12 months.
But my question is it really buggy, or do they have some of the bugs worked out of it, or is it buggy?
Put it this way. It works much better on the phone than from the desktop. I can share everything. So what I love about Cloud Hub is that's my go-to platform primarily now. I post there, and then I can share my posts right on Twitter and Facebook from Cloud Hub.
From Cloud Hub.
And Parler.
Okay, cool.
And Parler.
So and Parler, too. Wow.
Yeah, or any platform. If I was on LinkedIn, I could share it there, but it allows me to share it directly onto other platforms, sort of like Hootsuite does. When you have a Hootsuite account, you can multi-platform post. It's the same concept, but it redirects everybody back to cloud.
And when you talk to Jeff, tell him that Malcolm at America Out Loud is interested in chatting with you and him, okay, about some of these things.
You got it.
I like what you're saying here, for real. What I'm detecting is your enthusiasm. What's really got me going is your enthusiasm. And I knew something had to be about this because you had it as a pinned tweet, and I thought we got to talk about this and see. I don't know anything much about it, but I'm fascinated. And you know, I got to tell you something else, Ann. Anybody with the last name Brain has got to be doing okay, because when you say, I mean, come on now, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Brain. And what does Mr. Brain say? That's like you got a reputation already before you even walk in the room, right? Right.
That's right. That's, I know. His name is absolutely perfect. You know, here's the other thing I love about CloudHub. They're not doing data mining. You know, Twitter does a lot of data mining. They track, they sell our data, and they're not going to suppress our reach. They're not manipulating what you get to see. There's no echo chambers. Yeah. They're basically giving you the opportunity to influence the issues that you care about. You can post and try and drive a narrative. And it's a really interesting platform.
All right, I could talk to both of you for hours and hours and end, obviously, because we're running right out of time. But Anna, give us a last word of thought here.
I'm just trying to exercise my First Amendment, right? Expressing what I believe to be true, because they don't believe, doesn't make it untrue. And I believe that the patriots and the people that love this country want to use a platform to say their piece. And I guess we're probably going to all go to that hub platform. And I know one day maybe we need to keep ourselves in our platforms to save this country. We need to be everywhere. And that is incorporate what is good.
Amen to that. You know, I was asked recently, ladies, about America Out Loud being a great name for a social media platform. And you'll laugh at this when you talk to Jeff or Mr. Brain suggest that. I was asked that multiple times now. Why don't we make America Out Loud into a social media platform? And I said, well, that's not my area of expertise or my realm. And I got to do what I do well. And I'm already overcomplicated in my life, you know, and I don't need any more complications, which is maybe why we need to talk to Jeff and see what he says. Ann Vandersteel, your last thought here about all of this, please.
My last thought is, this is all going to be a bad dream at some point in the not too distant future. I really believe, you know, people who are concerned with mail-in voting fraud, that's not going to be an issue. President Trump's going to get reelected in an overwhelming majority in this country. And once we get the election behind us, that's when we're going to see the real power of Congress come together, because of the what we saw in Florida is a bellwether for the election. And I do believe the social media censorship problem will be resolved, because in this entire, takedown of the deep state, we're going to have the exposure of all of these bad actors that have, you know, misappropriated our trust in our First Amendment right to be trampled on by these Silicon Valley speech cartels. And there's going to be some people that are going to suffer pain for the actions they've done. And the American populace is going to be free to speak again, free to defend ourselves. The tyranny is going to go away. So I'm very encouraged by the future. Yeah. I just know it's painful getting there.
I know. I'm going to hold you to everything you just said, Ann. Exactly. So, wow, what a program. You're listening there to the voices of Ann Vandersteel and Anna Julia. Two great names, by the way, and you love saying them. And two great, strong, passionate patriots and strong women. And it's such a pleasure to have them here. I was looking forward to this conversation. I had never spoke to Ann Vandersteel before, and I feel like she's a good friend, and just meeting her today here for the first time. And Anna Julia is definitely a good friend, and two great voices. It's what I love about this platform. People, I love being able to meet just awesome people like you out there. all of our listeners and so many people. It is a blessing. It really, truly is a blessing to be here and to be part of this. And I thank you as always for being with me. We learned a few things about Sensorin and learned some of the passion here and some opportunities in moving forward. So it's a good thing. Thanks, friends, for being part of the mission here with me. It's time to get involved and get loud.